With that, let's go to the book of James. We're going to go to James chapter 1, and today we're going to go verses 5 through 8. I'm going to be reading out of my New American Standard Bible translation. I will have those words up here on the screen. Please follow along with me in your Bibles. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read. From the book of James, let me start with verse number 5 through verse number 8. These are the words of James, the half-brother of Jesus, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. Verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, today we're going to talk about four more verses out of the book of James, and there is something there that you want us all to learn about you and about your word. Open our minds and our hearts to these new truths for us here today, Lord. As always, we give you the praise and glory for what you have written. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. We continue this morning here in our expository study of the book of James, and this is week number 3. I have titled today's message, If Any of You Lacks Wisdom. The exact words that James uses in verse number 5 of chapter 1. Well, two weeks ago in our study from verses 2 through 4, we learned this, that trials test our faith. When we have trials, how must we respond? And we learned from the scriptures that the answer is a Christian responds with joy in our trials. Not joy in the trial itself. No, we're never joyful that our furnace has quit in the middle of winter or our spouse left us for another partner. Those were the examples I gave. We're not joyful in those things. We're joyful in the fact that our faith is being tested. That is what brings us joy. It's almost as if we could say something like this. Well, thank you, Lord, because I know that I am being tested and I am being drawn closer to you in these trials that I have in my life. Again, I said last week that either trials will draw us closer to the Lord or they will push us away. But sometimes, even as Christians, our humanity kind of kicks in. And we would probably much rather say something like this. But Lord, could you please use some other means to test my faith? I am really not fond of trials. We would probably like to say something like that. But today we're going to move on to verses 5 through 8. And these verses, I'm going to tell you right up front, these verses can be easily misinterpreted. How do I know that? Because I have misinterpreted these verses myself. And this morning, I'm going to point out my error to you. And it all surrounds the word wisdom. So let's look at this word wisdom. The word wisdom here that's used in verse number 5 is the Greek word sophia. And the Greek word sophia means wisdom. Now, you might know of a lady who has the name of Sophia, and that's where this word comes from. It's the Greek word which means wisdom. We're all familiar with wisdom. So I'm going to put Webster's definition up here on the screen. Webster defines wisdom as this: knowledge that is gained by having many experiences in life, knowledge of what is proper or reasonable. We know this, we would say this, as we grow older, we get wisdom. or at least we should anyways, we get wisdom. We could say this, I've seen things happen in my past, and now I know what to do and what not to do based on having many experiences in life. We make wiser choices now because of our past experiences. We know things like this. We know certain people, yeah, we need to associate with those people or people not to associate with. We know certain restaurants are better than others. I would rather go to this restaurant than this restaurant. Why do we know that? How do we know that? We have wisdom. We've been there. And we know certain ways that we want to arrange our office or arrange our shop or arrange our kitchen based on what best suits our routines. We've been down that road before. We have that experience. We all understand this kind of wisdom. It is a secular human wisdom. But, great transition word, but this is not the wisdom James is talking about here. He's not talking about the wisdom, as they would have said in those days, of maybe who to purchase a donkey from or how to double talk the tax collectors. That is not the kind of wisdom James is talking about. And this is where I made my error in interpreting this passage. I define wisdom using this definition right here. I gave it a secular definition, and that is not the definition James has given it. It's interesting. Webster's definition of wisdom back almost 200 years ago was different than what it is today. From the 1828 dictionary, here was Webster's definition of wisdom: the right use or exercise of knowledge. The right use or exercise of knowledge. I'm going to use this definition right here. So let's kind of define that a little bit further. What kind of knowledge is James talking about? Is he talking about human knowledge that we've just talked about before? No, he is not. James would say that the knowledge that we need to exercise would be the knowledge of understanding God and His Word. We would say biblical knowledge. So I'm going to use the same definition, kind of insert one little word in there. Wisdom, the right use or exercise of biblical knowledge, the Word of God. So this is the definition that James wants us to understand. So let's do a little substitution here. I'm going to put verse 5 back up here. I'm going to put it up there as it's originally written, and then we're going to substitute the word wisdom. Verse 5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Let's go down here. Let's substitute. But if any of you lacks the right use or exercise of biblical knowledge, let him ask of God. When we use Webster's 1828 definition with the insert of that word biblical knowledge, it really makes a difference in how we interpret this passage. And this is how we need to interpret it right down here. So our first fill in the blank that you do not have in your bulletins here this morning, that you might want to write somewhere, would be this. Wisdom, as used in this passage, is how we apply what we know about the Word of God. It's how we apply what we know. Many of you, if not all of you, are familiar with Charles Stanley. Charles Stanley is very good at preaching what we call life application. Here's the biblical principles. How do we apply them in our lives? And Charles Stanley is very good at that. And there are Bibles available out there called Life Application Bibles, which gives us study notes of how we can apply the scriptures to our everyday life. And that's good, because that's exactly what James is talking about right here. And we have affirmation from the Apostle Paul here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And Paul writes this, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So even Paul is affirming the same type of wisdom that James is talking about. So on one hand, we could say over here that we have experienced the ways of the world. How can we apply that for our good? And that would be a secular way of looking at wisdom. But over here, we could also say that we are learning the ways of God as we grow in His Word. So how can we apply this for our good? And that is the biblical way of looking at wisdom. And that way of looking at wisdom is at the heart of our text today. A little bit later on in the same chapter 2, Paul writes this in verses 15 and 16. He says, "But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Again, for those who are in Christ will be the only people who are going to be able to understand the type of wisdom that Paul and James are talking about. Let's face it. Let's get real here for a second. As Christians, we do not immediately get everything right in our Christian walk. We learn, but sometimes we stumble, and sometimes we fall. Back in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, the Apostle Paul had to rebuke the Apostle Peter for his unchristian-like behavior. Peter was fine eating with the Gentiles until the Judaizers showed up, and then Peter didn't want anything to do with the Gentiles. So even the pillars of the church mess up every now and again. And God understands that we are on a learning curve in our Christian walk, and we are all at different levels in our biblical knowledge. But He wants us to grow. And Christian growth comes in the form of applying what we know. So the question now becomes this: how much do we want to apply what we know about the Word of God in our lives? And let's just use this as an example. We know this much, so do we want to apply that much? Or let's say, well, somebody else knows this much. Do you want to apply this much? And some people are baby Christians. They might not only know this much, but do they want to apply that much? We're all at different places in our walks. And James has already challenged us on trials. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Now James is about to challenge us on this topic of wisdom. If we are really Christians, how much do we want to apply what we know about the Word of God? So, our next fill in the blank would be this. Let's look at it this way. Let's say this. The problem is that we lack wisdom. And James is even saying that, because he starts off verse 5 by saying this: "But if any of you lacks wisdom," James is saying there are going to be Christians out there who do not apply what they know about the Word of God into their lives. They lack biblical wisdom. And if we look at the context of this text right here, he is also saying that this might be the reason why people are not joyful in their trials, because they don't have the biblical wisdom to do so. They lack wisdom. Now, we said first that there's the problem is we lack wisdom. The next one, the solution is we ask God. There's nothing wrong with lacking biblical wisdom, but we need to ask God. And that's also part of verse number 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, okay, that might be me, let him ask of God. Because every problem requires a solution. And James provides that solution, and it's a very simple one. Ask God. That's all you need to do. the true Christian will want to apply the Word of God in his or her life. And if anyone struggles with that, James is saying this, hey, the solution is simple. Ask God. So we know what the problem is. We know what the solution is. Is there a result? The result is we receive. Every solution does have a result. And James gives us that result again in chapter 1, verse number 5. And it will be given to him. We receive. The true Christian will receive the wisdom that they ask for. I believe it's back in chapter 6 of Matthew. Jesus says this when he's talking to the crowd. Ask and you shall receive. Ask and you shall receive. The problem is we lack wisdom. The solution is we ask God. And the result is we will receive. And it sounds pretty simple. It's a pretty simple formula. But we can't ask just any old way that we want. What is our true desire? And where is our heart when we are asking? And in what manner should we ask? And James answers that in verse number 6. We ask in faith. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. He says it right there. We must ask in faith. So our fifth and final fill in the blank would be this. The manner is we ask in faith and without doubting. Sure, we can ask, but we must ask in faith and never doubt that we are going to receive. Now, this is where we need to be a little careful. I am convinced that if we ask God and we ask in faith and we ask without doubting, because we want him to help us apply the Word of God in our lives, he is certainly going to honor that request. And James says back in verse number 5 that he is. But, again, that great transition word, but it does not mean that if we ask God, even in faith and without doubting, for anything and everything that our carnal minds can conjure up, that he is going to honor those requests. He's not our personal genie who grants our every wish and desire. That is not what these scriptures here are talking about. We are talking about petitioning God for his help in our walking the Christian walk. And he says this, I'll gladly supply you with that wisdom. Let's move on to the last three verses right here. And I'm going to just kind of read through this here again. But he must ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. James is actually saying three things about those who ask but doubt. And let's put those three up here. I'm going to kind of condense them. He says this first. He says, he is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. We all know that the surf in the sea tosses and it never settles. It's always unstable. It's constantly moving. Number two, he is a double-minded man. And that means the person's man is divided between the things of the world and the things of the Word. And number three, he says he is unstable in all his ways. In other words, that person just cannot focus on the truth. Sometimes their mind is into the world and in more carnal things, places where it should not be. Wisdom. So today's lesson on wisdom is another Christianity test. James is writing this letter to people that he calls the brethren, people who are claiming that they are Christians. So the question now becomes this, are they truly Christians? But an even better question is, are we truly Christians? Well, if we are, then when we ask in faith for wisdom, in other words, Lord, how do I apply the biblical knowledge that I have, whatever that may be, and do not doubt God's ability to provide? God says this, you will receive. You will receive it. If you want to walk the godly life and apply this in your life, I'll gladly give that to you. So let's put that definition of wisdom up here one more time. The right use or exercise of biblical knowledge. So let's ask that question just one last time. How much do we want to apply of what we know about the Word of God into our lives? And again, our goal is to apply all of it, because the Christian has the mind of Christ in how we act, in how we speak, in all of our thoughts, and in all of our decisions. So how much do we know? Well, everybody's at a different level. Some are down here, some are here, some are up here. If we're up here, then this is how much we need to apply. If we're here, this is how much. And if we're here, that's how much. Wisdom, godly wisdom, not secular human wisdom, godly wisdom, the right use or exercise of biblical knowledge. Now, I finally got it right. And now I wanted to share that with you. That's the wisdom that James is talking about. Let's go to God in prayer.